Safety Program with Michael Parker on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This is Hour 2 of Deprogram. I am your host, Michael Parker. In just a moment, we'll be speaking with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. We're going to be talking about health and the immune system and diet and how we can boost our immune system, which since that's one of the most important things that we could do right now is be healthy. Before we do that, I like to start off each hour with an interesting news story. So this is a quick story, and this is just a subject that I've loved my entire life. So I bring it up because it's interesting. China says its giant sky eye telescope may have picked up signals from alien civilizations. That's right. That's what it says. This is in Business Insider. It says researchers with Beijing Normal University found, quote, several cases of possible technological traces and extraterrestrial civilizations from outside the Earth. This is according to a report published Tuesday in Science and Technology Daily. I tried to click on that link, but it's all in Chinese. I couldn't read it, and I was in a hurry, and I didn't have time to translate it. So I'm giving you kind of the dialed-down version that was in Business Insider. But so they released the information there. It says, the signals were discovered by China's 500-meter aperture spherical radio telescope called FAST, the only giant single dish radio telescope in the world. It is known formally as SkyEye. And there is a person there with the last name of Zhang, who is a major kind of alien hunter for this group. And he was quoted by the newspaper saying the new signals could just be radio interference. The possibility that the suspicious signal is some kind of radio interference is also very high, and it needs to be further confirmed and ruled out. This may be a long process. To date, those researchers have identified two different sets of signals from 2019 when the processing data, and one from this year. So he's telling them that. So on one hand, they're giving us this statement that we may have discovered these alien signals, but on the other hand, they're also saying could be radio interference. So I just bring this up because every couple of years, it seems like we get one of these stories where one of these large radar dishes, whether it's in China, whether it is overseas in some other country here in North America, you know, there'll be some interesting information that comes through, and then we spend a long time trying to figure out what it is, and then somebody says it's the microwave in the break room. So I don't know. I find it fascinating, and certainly the most famous of these signals was the WOW signal that happened in the 70s. And maybe we'll have to get into that in the future. But as more information comes out about this, I'll keep you up to date on it because it's a subject that I find interesting. And I want to bring you inspiring news stories instead of super depressing news stories, because you can get that almost anywhere. So we're going to take a quick break. This is TNT. I'll be right back with Dr. Lynn Lafferty.
Engaged and informed conversation.
They say what I'm thinking.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All right. So in this hour, we're going to talk about some things that are good news and good information for us. I'm going to be speaking with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. And Dr. Lafferty is a doctor of pharmacy, a naturopathic doctor, a master herbalist, and a chef. Also an endowed professor at Nova Southeastern University. Good morning, Dr. Lafferty.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on this. I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad you're here. And listen, I love talking about health. And, you know, after the last couple of years with COVID being front and center and us changing the way we live around it, what you seem to be about is being healthy. And if more people had been healthy, maybe the COVID situation wouldn't have been so difficult for many of us. You have this one particular article that I want to talk about for a little bit called How to Abuse Your Immune System. And then you go through several supplements, because we have an hour to talk about a lot of things. But if we could just talk about that article for a minute and why these particular things help the human body, why we need to make sure that we have enough vitamin D and zinc and C and such.
Great. That's a great topic. Thank you. Well, I like to start with zinc because I've always loved zinc, even for the common cold. There's commercial products that you can, are lozenges and things like that as well. Zinc, first of all, for viruses like the last one we had, or cold or flu, they have to dive into a mucous membrane. And the zinc is so amazing for skin issues to begin with. I mean, it's important for your skin, but it puts like a Teflon coating, if you will, in that mucous membrane so that it prevents the virus from even getting in. Then there's many studies that show, and this is for all viruses, because I know we're hearing about other viruses that are transmitted differently. There's many different ways that zinc has been shown to block the replication of even, let's say, HIV. There's a study in or two that talks about that. So other studies that aren't necessarily transmitted the same way. So zinc is really a very big go-to. And vitamin D really is, to me, is kind of misnomer because it's actually a hormone. It's got the structure. It starts with the cholesterol in your skin, just like your other hormones like progesterone or cortisol or testosterone. It starts with that first structure in the biochemical chain. And what it does is all of your hormones, especially also your adrenal glands and cortisol, play a big role in boosting the immune system, many different ways that it works. One of the ways is, and there's an article, medical article you can see, it's called Science Direct, is that it helps the absorption of calcium. And calcium is actually the igniter of the immune system. So if you feel like you're coming down with a cold or something, to go get whole milk or raw milk or whatever you drink, make sure it's from a really good source of grass-fed cows, or taking some, I give calcium lactate tablets to the patients, or a product that has calcium lactate in it, because that's your igniter. It starts calling in all your cells. So, and very interesting article that was done about, I think it was maybe 6 or 7 years ago, where they, in Canada, they took one hospital and looked at flu, one got vaccinated, one got vitamin D, and actually that was the employees. And actually the employees who got vitamin D actually got less flu that year. So, so those two things are really a must. And then people talk about cortisone and vitamin C. And this is really important because I only use herbs or whole food vitamins in my practice, which means either they come from animal tissue or they come from a plant. Because ascorbic acid is what the FDA calls vitamin C, and you see it on the shelf, but it doesn't show up in nature that way. It's got cortisone and rutin and all sorts of flavonoids and bioflavonoids and other factors to make it work properly. Now, a lot of people say, wait, but I take a high dose of vitamin C, ascorbic acid, and it works for me. And it probably does work for a lot of people, but it's not actually the vitamin C per se. Most of the American standard American diet we call SAD, standard American diet, it makes your GI tract too basic. And 80% of your immune system is actually in your GI tract. So anything fermented foods or acid foods or of course, taking ascorbic acid that makes your GI tract more acidic. This is for people that have more basic GI tracts. That's going to help your immune system a great deal because we have a big immune institute at our university, and I gave a big lecture to the doctors, and they were really surprised the importance of the GI pH is everything to the human body, and the studies show that.
And that's because of the biome in the gut, just having a healthy biome. Yes. And if your pH is off, you won't have that?
You won't have good ones. The bad ones grow. As a matter of fact, I had 3 students and a resident last year, the last time that I had this group of students. And we looked at all of the microbes that are implicated in different autoimmune diseases. And so those things that were implicated, they grew in a pH of 7. That was their optimal pH. And yeast and fungus likes a more basic pH of 7.
So when you say 7, is that on the acidic side or are the other side?
The tiniest bit acidic, 7.4 is called neutral, but your stomach acid should be a pH of 1 to 2.
Okay.
And your GI pH, depending where you are in the small or large intestine, should be between 5.5 and 6. So it should be on that scale of acidity. So these negative microbes, if you will, they grow, their optimal is a 7. So when you take something acidic, you're lowering the pH. And that's why we take in our probiotic lactobacillus, because lactobacillus makes lactic acid. So it makes the pH, the right pH in your GI tract.
And let me make sure I understood this. When you were talking about vitamin D, zinc, and C, it seems like you said that you do not take them in like a tablet or supplement form. You prefer to get those from the actual foods. Is that right?
Well, it's always going to be better always to get them from the natural foods. But I'm kind of an old time naturopath. My grandmother had a 150 acre farm growing up in upstate New York. She never had a drug until she was 80 when we were in a car accident. She broke her hip, and this was in 1980. And they said, oh, she'll never live. And that be through it, she had like a 0.001% chance of living. And when she came out of the surgery, they go, oh, she's got bones like a 50-year-old woman, because she went up, you know, up until that time, she was climbing ladders and pruning her fruit trees and doing all sorts of things. So, and she was an incredible doctor. She was part Native American, and she was really kind of like it was a very small town, and the nearest hospital was like 50 miles away. She even did some minor surgery, like with a butcher knife or whatever she had on my father, who got pneumonia and couldn't breathe. So, you know, she did some extraordinary things, and, she was extraordinarily healthy. And she, even when she had a walker, she had her garden, and she was an amazing person. So I learned a lot from her.
Well, I know so that you have,
she never took a supplement, but one of the things she did, not to interrupt, but one of the things she did is, I remember she told me when I was little, we were walking on the property and she had a creek, and she showed me these beautiful trees called elderberry. Mm-hmm. And she, went to and said that there was this Spanish flu or a great epidemic in 1920, and that she was 20 years old, and that she took care of about 15 or 20 people, and that none of our family got that, and she never got it, taking care of the people, and they all got better from elderberry. So early on in this epidemic, I had my students go to the medical library, and we did find a different version of that virus in the library. And it had broken out in a nursing home in Louisiana in 2016. And they gave the elderberry, and not one person died. Nobody went to the hospital, and everyone was better in 5 days. So I had elderberry for our pharmacy at our university made by an herbal company, exactly like that was. It was extracted in alcohol.
And what is it in the elderberry that is particularly helpful in fighting viruses?
Well, it, you know, and when I tell my colleagues, you know, because I have a little bit of a hard time in a medical and pharmacy school, but, you know, fortunately, I have a good science background, so I can argue, and I still have a great memory that I can quote articles. So one of the things with elderberry, it helps, they're called aquaphors. And I think like some of the drugs work the same way, because of course, hydroxychloroquine comes from a tree bark. They help they help the zinc to get into the cell and block the virus. They also amp up the immune system so that there's more attack there to get rid of the virus. So they would be called immune builders. They build up things, you know, you might've heard of T killer cells or macrophages, if you remember from your biology, yes, when you were in high school or college, those types of things that are in your immune system.
Well, you know, you mentioned your grandmother, and I know that you have a book coming out, Grandma's Recipes for Life. That's coming out next month, right?
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. It's a tribute mostly to her, but my other grandmother too. My other grandmother taught me how you heal through love. And this grandmother also loved us, but she had a lot of kids and grandkids, and I was the only granddaughter of the other one. But it's also a spiritual book, and it's also a book of, it's got recipes both for spiritual and also like pickled beets and things like that, that will help your GI tract. One of the things my grandmother always did, and I always wondered what she's doing, is she'd look at your poop. They actually call me the poop doctor, because if you become my patient, I ask you everything about it. What color? Is it soft or hard? Does it float or sink? Because it tells a story about what's going on in the GI tract. And the first thing with any disease you have, we have to get the GI tract going first, because it won't absorb. I do use supplements, by the way. When I said only herbal supplements or whole foods. So whole food supplement would be have in it like acerola cherries and peppers, or it might an adrenal tissue. So that's what makes up the product I use for vitamin C. It's called cataplexy. It's got all those foods in it. So it's going to have the bioflavonoids and all the different factors that vitamin C needs to work.
And this is just a general question because every person's different, but just generally, what would be the most important thing that you would tell people to take or eat in order to help get their gut biome healthier?
I think first of all, I always say eat what nature put out, God put out on your table, because there was a creative process and the plants and animal tissues, they work with our body. They were meant for our body. And the cool thing about herbal medicine is that the plants show up where they're needed. So for instance, trees like the tree bark that helps with malaria, you won't find that in Alaska, because I don't think they have malaria there. You find it, in Africa and South America, where they have a lot of malaria. So it's very fascinating how the plants you need are in front of you, no matter where you're at.
That is really interesting. I'm in a weird way, that kind of makes sense on this cosmological, spiritual level, which is beautiful.
It is beautiful. I have a biochemical pathway map in my office. It's 4 feet wide by 3 feet tall. And it's such an amazing, our biochemistry, it's so amazing. There's so many roads. And if one road doesn't work, because maybe your gene doesn't work quite properly, or maybe you're under toxic assault or something like that, it can go down another road, So it's such a comprehensive, mind-blowing thing to look at that. And there's so many scientists that don't believe in any of that. And I put a big map near the scientists too, because I can't go by it or look at it by not just being overwhelmed with the just how amazing it is.
Well, that's troubling. I mean, science will, and not just scientists, all of us should have a bit of humility. And that's one of the things that I try to come back to in my shows whenever I can, is have a bit of humility in the face of the universe. I mean, and listen, science and medicine let us down the last couple of years. And so just have some humility in the face of nature and the universe, and let's try to be inspired by it and find some things that work out of it. Because you just mentioned these plant medicines are found where they need to be.
Even more incredible, if you go to my website, I have a video posted on this, which I get chills. I watched it 1,000 times. I still get chills of it, because our ancestors, for instance, we know there's 5,000 studies on DHA, which is part of the omega-3 fish oil complex. There's EPA and DHA, and DHA mostly hits your brain. And how even if you take it as a pregnant woman, it increases the IQ of your child, all of these different things of cognition and IQ and just on and on. And it, one of the highest things in DHA is a walnut. And when you look at a walnut, it looks just like a brain. It has the hemispheres, it has the, you know, the things. And there's so many things like that. A kidney, there's actually research in the medical library, the kidney thing will help your kidneys. Or the lycopene you've heard for your heart, it's very high where? In tomatoes. A real tomato, if you cut it open, it's got four chambers and it looks just like a heart. So, you know, even an avocado, when you slice it open with the seed in it, it looks just like the womb. And it takes 9 months for an avocado to come to ripe. And it's very good for women's hormones. So
my mind is blown. Let's stop there. Let's take a break. I'm speaking with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. This is amazing. And I've got to find that video now to watch. I watched several of your videos yesterday, but I didn't see that one. So I missed it. But I'm very inspired right now. This is TNT Deprogram. This is the information that you're here for. We'll be right back.
Free speech is in our DNA.
Experimental vaccines will never change that.
Listen to TNT Radio anywhere you go. Yeah, even there. Never miss out on the news and views of the big issues of the day. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio.
Or download the TNT Radio app for free.
From the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Affordable housing. We can build that. Sustainable housing, we can build that. At MIT Modular, we understand the importance of housing for all and the importance of design, cost, and functionality. Our goal is to meet the needs of our growing population by converting shipping containers to livable units. If you're like-minded and in a position to invest in something meaningful and life-changing, we want to hear from you. We are a team of professional architects, engineers, and financial and tax experts dedicated to offering unique solutions that provide a brighter future. Our Opportunity Zone Fund offers investors both real estate and operating business diversification, 5-year tax deferral on capital gains, annual tax benefits, and ultimately tax-free appreciation potential. There are Opportunity Zones all over America. If you're interested in learning more about our services, need affordable housing, or want to participate in creating a new vision for tomorrow, give us a call in the U.S. on 385-985-5702. Or read more at mitmodular.com. MIT Modular. We can build that.
Eggs. You can fry them, scramble them, poach them, boil them, or race them on a spoon. But uncooked eggs can be a risk for food poisoning. To be safe, avoid buying dirty or cracked eggs. Always wash your hands after handling eggs. And if you're concerned, pregnant, elderly, or have a poor immune system, make sure you cook eggs until the yolk starts to firm. Or look for new pasteurized eggs. For excellent eggs, handle them safely.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
We are speaking with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. You can find her website is drlynnlafferty.com. Doctor, when I'm reading about you in the bio, because you have many functions that you can do, doctor of pharmacy. So were you a pharmacist? Is that what that means? You were a pharmacist as well?
I am a pharmacist. As a matter of fact, my office is in the pharmacy, my clinic, and someone quit recently and they had to use me in an emergency. I was a little scared about that. But yeah, and I was trained in such an amazing curriculum. And this is one of the other reasons that I'm talking out, because what the students, I was in the medical school for 7 years and helped set up a integrative medicine department. And the doctor there is amazing, who's now in charge of that department. She's an older doctor as well, and I've learned so much from her. Anyway, and then we took, let's say, 1 year of pharmacology. Our pharmacology textbook, first of all, had over 100 vitamin therapies that were used. And we were talking about vitamin D, and we always think of in medicine, the active is 125 cholecalciferol. But I was reading in my textbook from 1980, and they were talking about 25, 26 and where it worked in the body and things. And nobody knows any of that. And so today, the medical students they have a thousand times more medications. They're a lot more dangerous right. than when I got out of school, and they take 6 weeks of pharmacology. So, I have a website that where I do CEs with some older physicians and myself. And because they didn't even realize that the students weren't learning all this. They took medical physiology out of medical school. Why would a doctor need to know how the body works?
I don't understand that. Well, I mean, this caught my eye because as a doctor of pharmacy, and you are a strong proponent of a more of a naturopathic and herbalist and natural food as the medicine, that was interesting to me. And so I take that seriously and wanted to bring that up.
Well, a lot of the supplements I use mostly a company that has been around since 1929, and they're so committed to quality and everything. They've modernized everything, but they still use the old products. They have $1 million machines now. But those products, a lot of those used to be prescription items. For instance, if someone lost their gallbladder, the surgeon wrote a prescription for bile salts. That company isn't there anymore. The company I have still makes it. Digestive enzymes. Study after study shows as you age, you're not proton pump inhibitor deficient, you're enzyme deficient. There was probably 7 pharmaceutical companies that made digestive enzymes. There was a doctor that came in the other day and I was like, hey, listen, you got to be on digestive enzymes. Get off that. He's trying it. So that's good. There was a product called Rutin that was a prescription item. And that drug was studied by Harvard back in the 70s to prevent heart attacks. It prevented second heart attacks. It healed the heart if you had a heart attack. And that's a part of the vitamin C complex. And I use tablets that are made of buckwheat. Buckwheat's very high in rutin. So all of those types of things. And I actually have my old pharmacology in what they call the PDR, physician desk reference, that we used to use, because I show the students, look, all these things I'm using, this, I'm not some voodoo princess. This was regular medicine back in the 70s. And my doctor was so old when I was a kid, he actually had Sigmund Freud as a professor at University of Vienna. And he would give us licorice tablets and adrenal shots. And I used both of those. And, you know, it showed also that licorice root also helped with this virus and H. pylori and so many things that it also kills. And it also helps your adrenal gland, which that's the other thing I do from that doctor, and it really helps people heal a lot faster, is to give a desiccated adrenal or licorice, because your adrenals play a huge part with your immune system.
Well, let's talk about the adrenals, and the adrenal glands are on top of the kidneys, right?
Right.
And then do they release cortisol into the blood? What do the adrenal glands do? Mm-hmm.
The adrenals make cortisol, aldosterone, all your hormones, testosterone.
All of the hormones.
All the hormones. And then also on the other side of the adrenal glands, it's divided in 2 sections. The other side makes epinephrine and norepinephrine, so adrenaline.
Well, hold on. I want to make sure I understand this. Okay, so the adrenal glands make all hormones. And then they also make, I can't pronounce it, norepinephrine. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Adrenaline.
They make that as well.
Yeah. They're your fight or flight. And a matter of fact, if you read like back in Hippocrates, they knew the adrenal glands were the center of the universe. And there was a pharmaceutical company that used to make desiccated adrenal too, that you could get a prescription of. So, and I use a lot of that with people because the thing is, I guess, so, you know, our male or female organs also make bigger quantities of the hormones, but they're in small quantities, or in what they call picograms or billionth of a milligram. But, so they make your hormones, but as we age, our hormones as we go through menopause or andropause, they decrease from those. So we were supposed to have nice, calm lives and just live off the hormones from our adrenal gland, but we're under such stress, you know, as we get age, that, you know, mindfulness and also taking care of yourself is so, you have to make yourself number one when you go through after your 40s, you know, you really do.
So you're saying the adrenal glands are overworked.
Way overworked.
And
just
how
driving
do we,
in Los Angeles or in Miami, sure. You know, they're overworked just from that.
And what can we do or take to give them a little help?
Well, what I do is I give people, there's a test you can take. It's a saliva test. I don't know if the general public can order that or not, or just doctors. But it'll show you outside of yourself. Plus it's saliva is actually in equilibrium with the cortisol and your hormones. So it's actually a really good test to do. And you can get all that information. And then if the people are in a what we call adrenal fatigue or Addison's disease, which means you literally have no cortisol, they're very weak. We give the desiccated adrenal, or we can give something called drentropin, or there's a lot of things called adaptogens. And those things are like cordyceps mushrooms, ashwagandha, Eleuthero, Romania root, ginseng. All of those things can help your adrenal. And the adrenals use the most amount of vitamin C in the body. So what happens, and this is, you know, I also am teaching at another university a mind-body course and talking about how patterns show up. But the biochemistry goes along with the psychology. So your body is a hierarchy. So if it needs something for a major organ like your heart or your lungs or your brain or your adrenal glands, it's going to pull it from someplace else. So vitamin C, you need that to make collagen. So when you get stressed, people get wrinkles because the body may not have enough vitamin C, might not be eating well when you're stressed. A lot of people don't. And then it starts pulling that vitamin C it needs out of the skin or out of the skin of your blood vessels and things like that to give the vitamin C it needs to work properly. So that's why when you're under stress, you might get gray hairs or you might get wrinkles because the body needs those minerals.
Wow. Another thing you talk about quite a bit is being a body detective. What do you mean by that?
So what I'm doing, so I have two courses. Being a body detective is my course that I do for doctors because I consider myself a detective. I let no stone go unturned. So we've been programmed to believe something because the authority says it's so, right? So we saw that a lot with what happened during the pandemic. And it's most of it's not even true. If you look in the medical literature, it's not true. So you have to go to the medical literature and see if what you can find to help somebody right now, today. And not even only that, it takes about 25 years for a discovery to take place. I remember when I was in school, these two crazy guys from Australia said there was a bacteria called H. pylori that killed ulcers. Well, now we know all that's true, but it takes that long for people to make sure that's true. And then they have to make a drug for it, which takes a long time and all that. So before they recognize that in regular medicine, it goes through a very long process. So I have a course I put together in functional nutrition and herbal therapy, and mostly physicians were in there. So what we're trying to do is find out, let's go to the medical literature and let's find out, is there something we can do right here, right now that's not harmful in the herbal or food world or the animal tissue world? And can we help that patient? And I'll give you a really funny example. I had a young man who called. He said, I have tuberous sclerosis and I have a lot of seizures. And I will not take the drug anymore that they've been giving me. Can you help me? And of course, CBD, and that actually got approved because it was so good for epileptic seizures. Mm-hmm. And we have hemp oil, which is good. And I said, you know, I'm not sure what that is. He goes, well, little tumors grow in my brain. It's a genetic disorder. And he goes, as you age, they can get cancer. Is there anything you can do to help me? I said, well, I don't know anything about this, but I will by the time you come in. So I had the residents and the students look up and I said, find out, because in a genetic disorder, it's usually a protein isn't being made. I said, find out what protein isn't made. And they said, it's called tuberlin. And I go, okay, now go and see, is it high somewhere in an animal tissue or in a plant? And they said, yeah, it's very high in pig brain. And I said, well, guess what I've got? I've got pig brain tablets. So they're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I got some pig brain tablets. So I gave them that and some turmeric with another herb that helps it go into the brain and the hemp oil. And 3 years later, he hasn't changed his diet. He hasn't had a seizure. And I was hoping his tubers had decreased. They hadn't decreased, but they haven't grown in 3 years either. So I feel like that's a big win. So those are the kind of the thinking that I teach the doctors. Now I have a course for the lay public called Become Your Own Health Investigator. And that is so that you can, and as you saw, there's a lot of things you can make at home, and there's a lot of things in your house that would have killed, it kills viruses, all sorts of viruses and bacteria and everything. So I just want to empower people. I want people to understand the body. I want them to learn how to do research, because sometimes even in the regular, you know, natural world, there's a lot of things out there they're telling people that can hurt people. And so I want people to take their own responsibility.
I like that. When you say do your own research, but that's kind of been discouraged because a lot of people in the press were saying, oh my gosh, here's, you know, all these people doing their own research, like it demeaning it as if the quest to get information is a bad thing. And I don't know, that bothered me. Yesterday I did a story and it came out in the Washington Post, I believe. Anyway, what they're saying now is that they're seeing kids coming in with like two or three different viruses simultaneously. They're kind of scratching their heads as to why this is. And one of the things that they've kind of come up with is that this could be a result of the fact that we did the lockdowns, we kept people inside and we put on masks, thereby lowering our immunity to these things that we're usually out in the world exposing ourselves to, keeping our immunity up. Do you have thoughts on that, or did you see that article?
Oh, absolutely. I was very against the mask. I'm a former board member of the American Academy of Environmental Medicine. You know, if you make the body work right, and my grandmother only graduated from the ninth grade, and she knew how to do that. So anybody can do that. It was passed down from her ancestors of how to live and on a farm without any resources except what's right in front of you. Anybody can do that, you know. And so a lot of programming, which your program's about, has been done, and it's just wrong because there's so many things that have been taken out of the curriculum. I remember in 1980, we saw a pancreatic cancer case in the hospital, and they're like, oh my God, you'll never see this. Hardly only a severe alcoholics have it, and this and that. And now it's probably the third biggest cancer. There's a lot of it. And, but they said, go to the medical library. And back then we didn't have computers. You had to actually go and mm-hmm. you had to get the journal and read it and go get a journal and you'll bring it to journal club. They don't have any of that anymore.
In regards to the pancreatic cancer, you say there's an increase of that now. What is that a result of?
Well, I don't know for sure, but know that GMO food has a, in one study that looks at about 28 studies, and it wasn't every study that did this, but it did have a detrimental effect on the pancreas.
My goodness. All right, let's stop right.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I tell you what, hold that thought, because this is a good place for us to just take our final break. So hold that thought. Don't forget, I speak with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. We're talking about health. We're talking about natural supplements, food as medicine, and, you know, information that we should know that has kind of been forgotten. This is TNT. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
On the 14th of June, Jeffrey M. Jones and Lydia Saad from the Gallup Company released an article titled "Usual Midterm Indicators Very Unfavorable for Democrats." They note that the president's party usually loses seats in midterm elections, but this time they suggest a record may be set. This is based on Gallup's latest opinion polling for presidential approval, congressional approval, US satisfaction, and economic conditions. All these indicators are at least 10 points lower than the historical average at the time of past midterm elections, and most are on pace to be the worst of such readings. Gallup data going back to 1974 was analysed, and the party of unpopular presidents has lost an average of 37 House seats. Today, most Democrats are too ideologically blinded or opportunistic to prevent an electoral wipeout that could well set a record. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
A man's home is his castle, but his men's shed, that's his kingdom. There are now more than 1,000 men's sheds across Australia, and they're more than just a shed. You can make things, grow things, find a mate, be a mate. Shoulder to shoulder, the Australian Men's Shed Association can help to find a shed near you.
There's something for you at the Men's Shed.
Where progress is influenced by revolution and evolution. This is today's News Talk Radio.
TNT.
TNT.
This is our final segment with Dr. Lynn Lafferty. You're listening to Deprogram. I'm your host, Michael Parker. And right before the break, we were discussing, the adrenal glands and other things, and you were going to make a point. Oh, I'm sorry, pancreatic cancer. You were going to make a point related to that.
Well, yes, I've just seen so many diseases happening. I have to tell the young people I work with that when I was little, there wasn't type 2 diabetes in children. Nobody was obese. I know a couple of people that had type 1 diabetes, but not all these different diseases. I see young people getting in their 20s MS, and that was so rare, and it was only if you were like 70. But again, all these have GI implications, that bacteria is like leaking from the gut. And, you know, UC Davis has done a lot of work on this and talks about the toxin that's given off and what that does. A lot of times these microbes, the toxins are much worse than the microbe themselves that are given off. So it all emanates from the digestive tract and how we're all eating, really. It really does.
That is incredible. And I've heard that now from several different people on the show coming at this from different disciplines. It's like, because I have Crohn's disease, I don't have it as bad as some people. I've mentioned it on the show before. We've seen this rise in autoimmune diseases that is kind of concurrent with the other things that you're discussing. And yeah, it just seems like it all gets back to the gut at the end of the day. And I'm going to have to really take that to heart, because I'm seeing my gastro person next Monday for my kind of quarterly checkup and everything. And like I say, I'm lucky. I don't have as bad a situation that some people do. I take a drug called mesalamine that kind of helps me keep it in check. But if I could balance my gut bacteria with health, with just a healthy diet, that would be far superior, I guess.
Well, I'd love to help you in any way I can. There's an interesting article out of the University of Sweden that talks about how it's and it quotes 157 other studies from around the world about how E. coli go rogue, and that causes the Crohn's. And then also that the pH, they looked at pH in the stomach, and anybody that had Crohn's or ulcerative colitis or IBS, their pH in their stomach was like 5 or above. And anybody that had nothing, that had a pH of 2 in their stomach, like they're supposed to, their GI tract was perfect. There was nothing wrong with any of those people whatsoever. So it goes back to pH. And there's other products that you can take that makes the pH the right pH for that, and anti-inflammatory. It's one of the greatest things, I think, for that, too, is good old aloe vera gel. That is like a miracle drug that I'm in Florida, so I have it growing all over my house. And then another thing, just so you know, we're talking about smallpox, monkeypox.
I've
got neem trees, and they actually, when they made a neem paste, it just made those poxes go away. And I've heard that.
I'm sorry, hold on. What kind of trees?
Neem.
I'm sorry.
Neem, N-E-E-M.
Mm-hmm. And that's an herb or something, isn't it?
It grows on a tree. I use the leaves from it. Yeah, I have 30 different kinds of trees that grow here on my property, and I'm in Fort Lauderdale. I have an acre farm, a little, and then in the wintertime, because our growing season's different, I have about, I don't know, 50 different herbs growing and things like that, other things, you know, like oregano and those types of things.
And the aloe vera.
You can't grow those too well in the summer.
And the aloe vera, are you saying just use it topically or ingesting
it? Well, for you, I would ingest it. So it it starts healing the tissue. And there's a great article about how polysaccharides go in and they repair the mucus. And they're also called mucilaginous herbs. So they're gummy, like the inside of the aloe plant, or there's something called slippery elm or marshmallow root. They used to make marshmallows with it. It's gummy. Okra, when you boil it, it's very gummy. Those types of things. Those things all help to heal the lining of your GI tract.
I was familiar with the slippery oak. Another thing I read in your bio that was really interesting is that you had worked here in LA with gangs at one point, and now you're working with veterans, helping them with PTSD and trying to improve brain health. So listen, I think most people, I'm pushing 60. I want my brain. What have you learned? What can we do to make our brains work better? Because a lot of people go after neuropics, whatever the word is, these, you know, supplements. What can we do to increase our brain health?
Well, the old naturopathic way, and I'm an old naturopath, is what a tissue looks like is what you should eat. So the brain is made of fat. So lots of good fats like the DHA that's in walnuts, calamari, salmon, all of those cold water fishes, sardines and anchovies, all of those things are really amazing for the brain. Avocados, all sorts of nuts, not just walnuts, but the walnut is very high. So there's lots of things that you can eat that are very good for your brain. And then the biggest thing, I think, and it's very hard when your adrenals are out, is sleeping, because your brain detoxifies while you sleep, and the brain is always in use. So you're always you're getting what we call ROS, where there's a lot of oxidative stress in the brain, right? And there's a lot of products that happen kind of picture, if you will, like when you're burning up your car really fast and the smoke is coming out and the carbon monoxide is poisonous. You don't want that, you know. So you want to be able, while you sleep, to detoxify that. One of the things is the brain needs to be cool. And another thing is, if you go out first thing in the morning and you get some sunlight in your eyes, that helps make your melatonin in the brain. And that's why you see when people are doing Tai Chi in the morning, they're facing the sun so they can get early morning sun in their eyes. And that starts helping the body to increase its melatonin for sleep.
Interesting. I That's really interesting. And, you know, I think most of us, as we age, we're concerned about, you know, the loss of our faculties, not being as sharp as we once were. I mean, I don't hear as great as I used to. I don't remember things as great as I used to. I speak on the radio, so I would love to be a better communicator. And sometimes I'm at a loss for a word or something. So, and in my family, as in many families, you know, there has been Alzheimer's in the past. So it's, you know, there's, you know, the brain is something that I think are on a lot of people's minds that are probably hearing this conversation.
Yeah. And I do just rest your brain, you know, just by putting your attention out. And that's a part of my grandma's book that I wrote too, is gardening, you know, taking the weeds out of your mind and just doing something automatic like that. But it's something that I really love, being there with nature and all of that, planting and all of those things can really help you, because you're not really thinking, you're just doing something you love to do. And it's a work, but it's kind of restful and peaceful to the brain, you know? So that's what I recommend too.
Dr. Lafferty, we have probably about 4 to 5 minutes left. I kind of want to give you the floor and to let you, you know, for your final thoughts and things that you want us to know and things that you have coming up or anything you want to share. The floor is yours.
Well, thank you so much. Well, I hope you go to drlynnlafferty.com. As you know, I have a lot of free seminars on there. I also have blogs. I also have videos on my YouTube channel of making different things, explaining how different plants work. And so I really am committed for the general public to know as much as what my grandmother taught me and, the lifestyle that we had, and even how my parents fed us. You know, we always had, a protein. It was usually a meat type of thing or fish or whatever. It was a carbohydrate, like a baked potato or something like that. It was a vegetable, a salad for fiber. And then for dessert, we got, unless it was on the weekend, we got fruit for dessert, a piece of fruit. So even the cafeteria, I remember when I was a kid, we had the best food. I mean, the old ladies, and they had the big mixers, and yep. I loved eating at our school. We had real food and it was homemade and everything. Everything was made with real butter. A matter of fact, there was a study I did. If you go to Dr. Lynn Lafferty, I have a baby formula, and one of the top doctors in the country, she's in the book 100 Best Doctors, and a good friend of mine. And she had five children, and we talk about what's in a baby formula, but she looked up what's in the baby formulas that you're not getting. And honestly, it's kind of a good thing. I didn't know they had high fructose corn syrup in them. I'm glad she looked that up before our seminar that we did. That's posted. You can hear about that. You can see what vitamins and why you should take if you get pregnant, or what the baby needs, the real stuff for a baby, what it needs. All of my grandmother's children were extremely healthy, and except for one grandfather that died in a combine accident and as a farmer, all of them lived to almost 90 or above. So, you know, and my other grandfather was from Italy. And my grandfather, during the spring in upstate New York, he'd be taking out the dandelion greens, and we put some olive oil and garlic and a little lemon on them. And he'd say, "This is our spring cleaning." And I never knew what he meant until, you know, I became an herbalist and learned that dandelions help clean the liver. So, all of these are ancestors, and I have the pleasure at the university of now being with a lot of culture, different cultures. Everything they did was for a reason, putting chimichurri sauce on if you go to a Latin American restaurant for steak, or a yogurt drink or a yogurt dessert after your meal, or those little seeds you get of fennel and things from the Indian restaurant. So all of our ancestors really knew how we should be eating. And what we've allowed is other people to design our food, make it easy for us, and put us under so much stress that we don't have time to cook. But you know what? I make time to cook almost every meal. So it's very important for me to do that for my own health.
Well, I've enjoyed our conversation today. This is all really important information. I mean, we just came through this, you know, 2.5 year thing, and maybe it didn't have to be that way if we had better diets and we took some of these natural supplements. So Dr. Lafferty, thank you for joining us today. Everybody, you can get more of her information at drlynnlafferty.com. And I appreciate your time today, and we'll be having you back.
Thank you so much. I love what you do. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That's very kind. All right, folks. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back for the final hour. This is Deep Program. My name is Michael Parker, and we're going to speak with some former L.A. Sheriff deputies. Robert Rangel has a book called The Red Dot, and he's got a pretty heavy story. It's going to be very interesting. We'll be right back.